Before we jump into today's deep dive, we really need to talk about the actual infrastructure holding your organization's communication together.
Oh, absolutely. It's something people just don't think about enough.
Right. And we can talk about this thanks to our supporter, SafeServer. Because, if you are relying on expensive proprietary tools like Microsoft Exchange distribution lists or Google Groups to manage your massive email communications, you're probably paying way too much.
Yeah, and you're potentially sacrificing total control over your own data, which is a huge deal.
Exactly. For any group that has legal, regulatory, or compliance requirements, we're talking mandatory email retention, financial record audit trails, strict data protection, data sovereignty isn't just some buzzword.
Right, it's a hard requirement. You literally can't operate without it.
Exactly. And that is where SafeServer comes in. They help organizations find and implement these really powerful open source alternatives. They take you from the initial consulting phase, all the way through to secure operation. And crucially, it's all on servers located entirely within the EU.
Which is just massive for compliance.
It really is. So to find out how to take control of your digital infrastructure, you can go to www.safeserver.de. So welcome to the deep dive.
Great to be here.
Our mission today is to kind of pull back the curtain on this really foundational piece of internet infrastructure. It's called GNU Mailman.
Yeah, Mailman. It's such a classic piece of software.
It is. And we're looking closely at the project's official GitLab repository, plus its core documentation, just to understand how this software quietly powers, the massive digital conversations that you probably participate in every single day.
It's everywhere, even if you don't see it.
Right. And to put this into perspective for you, I want you to imagine trying to host a massive dinner party.
Okay, I love this analogy.
Right. So imagine a dinner party, but instead of 10 guests, you have 5,000 people crammed into a single room.
Which sounds like an absolute logistical nightmare.
Totally.
I mean, everyone would just be shouting across the room at the exact same time. Like every single time someone makes a point, 5,000 people turn around and shout back their own individual responses.
Yes, it would be deafening.
And without structure, there's just no way to filter out the background noise. You wouldn't be able to find the actual meaningful conversation in all that chaos.
Exactly. And that chaotic shouting match is literally what email looks like without a highly sophisticated routing system operating in the background.
Yeah.
We really tend to take digital communication for granted.
We do. You just hit send and expect it to work.
Right. You hit send to a massive mailing list and you just assume it magically lands in everyone's inbox.
Yeah.
But the architecture keeping that organized is incredibly complex. So GNU Mailman fundamentally acts as this digital switchboard.
A really, really smart switchboard.
Yes. You send one message to it, and the engine intelligently parses it, filters it, and routes it to everyone who needs to see it, which is obviously way better than you trying to CC 500 people and just completely crashing your local email client.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Your email client would just give up. And it's funny because the official documentation, it defines Mailman simply as free software for managing electronic mail discussion and e-newsletter lists.
Which sounds so basic.
It does. It really undersells the mechanics at play here. Because when you send a message to a mailman list, it doesn't just blindly forward it.
No.
It actually intercepts the message, unpacks the headers, checks its internal database to see if you even have permission to post.
Oh, wow. So it's doing permissions checks on the fly.
Exactly. And it strips out any forbidden file attachments, and then it reassembles the message to hand it off to the mail server in these perfectly optimized batches.
But wait, I have to ask. In an era of, instant messaging,
Right.
Slack, Teams, massive Discord servers, isn't building this crazy complex switchboard just for email a little archaic?
Yeah.
Why put so much engineering effort into an email routing engine today?
Well, because email remains the only truly decentralized, universally accepted communication protocol we have.
Well, that's a really good point.
Right. Like, you don't need to force 5,000 people to download a specific proprietary app.
Or agree to, like one single corporation's terms of service just to talk to each other.
Exactly. You just need their email address. And managing that kind of scale, it requires a specialized engine because of the sheer volume of errors that happen on the open web. I mean, take bounce processing, for example.
Right, bouncing emails. Usually, if I send an email and it bounces, I just get a failure notification in my inbox and I completely ignore it.
We all do.
So how does Mailman handle that differently?
Well, on a massive scale, you cannot just ignore bounces because if a server continually tries to deliver mail to thousands of dead addresses, receiving servers like Gmail or Outlook, they will flag your IP address as a spammer.
Oh, so you get blacklisted.
Exactly. And suddenly none of your legitimate emails get through. So Mailman actually parses the specific SMTP error codes that get sent back by those receiving servers.
Wait, it's actually reading the error codes?
Oh, yeah, it knows the difference between a temporary 400-level error, which is like, you know, a mailbox being temporarily full, and a hard 500-level error, which means the account has been permanently deleted.
Okay, so it's actively reading the server feedback. It's not just a dumb pipe.
Far from it. It actually assigns a bounce score to every single subscriber.
That is wild.
Right. So if an address generates a hard bounce, or maybe too many soft bounces over a specific time period, Mailman automatically disables delivery to that address. And it does this to protect the sender's reputation.
Wow.
Yeah, it handles the entire life cycle of a subscriber without a human administrator ever needing to even look at a log file.
That is fascinating. It's basically playing defense for your server's reputation.
That's exactly what it's doing.
And I guess it's also playing defense for the user's inbox, right? Mm. With features like digest delivery.
Yeah.
Because instead of getting 50 individual emails throughout the day from a super busy discussion group, Mailman just bundles them.
Yeah.
But mechanically, how is it assembling a digest? I mean, it can't just be copy-pasting text into one long email.
No, it's way more sophisticated than that. It's actually constructing these complex MIME multi-part messages.
Okay, what did that mean?
So it takes the individual emails, preserves all their original formatting, and bundles them into a single summary email that gets delivered at a scheduled interval.
Oh, that's really smart.
Yeah, it respects the user's time and their inbox space while still keeping them fully in the loop. And it also runs incoming messages through built-in content filters.
Right.
So if someone tries to send, say, a massive video file to a 5,000-person list, Mailman strips the attachment right out. It prevents a total collapse of your bandwidth, but it still lets the text message through.
And crucially, every single message that passes through this absolute gauntlet is securely stored. And, you know, the built-in archiving is what brings us right back to why a service like SafeServer really champions this tool.
Oh, absolutely.
Because for enterprise users, having a permanent, unalterable archive of who said what and exactly when they said it, that is just non-negotiable for compliance. Mailman doesn't just route the mail. It basically acts as the authoritative historical record.
It does. And to really understand how it handles all of this, like the routing, the archiving, the web integration, we have to look at its architecture.
Yes, let's look under the hood.
So the project is distributed under the GNU General Public License version 3, which basically guarantees it remains free software forever.
Right.
But the real story isn't how it's built. It is written entirely in the Python programming language.
Yeah, and looking at the GitLab repository where the code actually lives, I noticed they make a really sharp distinction between the Mailman 3 suite and Mailman Core. And to me, this seems like a major architectural shift from older versions of the software.
It was a massive philosophical shift, honestly, because older iterations of Mailman were monolithic. Like, everything was just tangled together.
A big bowl of spaghetti code.
Exactly. But with Mailman 3, the developers totally decoupled the system. So think of the Mailman 3 suite as the user-facing vehicle, like the car itself. It's the web interface where users manage their subscriptions, and the web-based archiver where they read past messages.
Okay, so if the suite is the car, then Mailman Core, which is the specific repository we're examining today, that's the combustion engine.
That's a perfect way to put it. Mailman Core has absolutely no graphical interface.
None.
None at all. It just sits on the server, crunching the SMTP routing rules, processing the bounces we talked about, and communicating with the web suite via a REST API.
You know, using a REST API to bridge the engine and the dashboard is incredibly smart. Because it means a developer could theoretically build their own completely custom dashboard for their specific company and just plug it straight into the Mailman Core engine to handle all the heavy lifting.
Precisely. It creates immense flexibility. But of course, maintaining a complex routing engine in Python is just a monumental task.
Which really brings up the obvious question, right? Because we see open source projects start with great intentions all the time. But eventually, the original creators burn out.
Oh, it happens constantly.
The code base ages, security vulnerabilities pile up, and the project just turns into a ghost town. So who is actually keeping this engine running?
Well, the GitLab repository metrics tell a very different story here. We're looking at project ID 83616, and this single repository for the core engine boasts over 11,369 individual commits.
Wait, really? Over 11,000?
Over 11,000.
That volume of code changes is staggering for a backend writing tool. Just 11,000 discrete updates, bug fixes, feature implementations.
Yeah, and the repository also tracks 52 tags and 18 active branches.
Okay, so they're busy.
Very busy. That means they aren't just doing linear updates. The community is simultaneously working on multiple different features and testing environments all at once. And you can really see this in their preparation for the future. Like, the recent code updates specifically show them implementing compatibility for Python 3.13 and 3.14.
But wait, why is a Python version update such a big deal for them? I mean, doesn't new Python code just naturally run better?
Not necessarily. You see, when Python updates, it often deprecates and just completely removes older standard library modules that developers have relied on for literally decades.
Oh, so they just rip out the old stuff.
Yeah, modules handling things like legacy email parsing or older internet protocols get stripped out to keep the language lean. So the mailman developers have to constantly dive into their massive code base and refactor the core logic just to ensure the engine doesn't suddenly fail when a server administrator updates their operating system.
Oh, wow. So they're basically rebuilding the plane while it's flying.
That's exactly what they're doing.
And we can see the results of this constant maintenance. The current stable release is version 3.3.10, which is uniquely codenamed Tom Sawyer.
Such a great code name.
It really is. And we're seeing commits pushed just a week ago by a developer named Mark Sapiro. So it's very much alive.
It is. And honestly, the human element behind those 11,000 commits is really the most fascinating part of the official documentation for me.
Oh, definitely.
They take immense pride in acknowledging the whole ecosystem of people who sustain this project. So you have the lead developer, Abhilash Raj, working alongside veteran core developers like Barry Warsaw, Mark Sapiro, Aurelian Bompard, Florian Fuchs, Terry Oda, and Stephen J. Turnbull.
But the acknowledgments go way beyond just the people pushing the core Python code, right? Yeah. I mean, they explicitly thank the bug hunters.
Yes, the bug hunters are crucial.
These are the users who deploy the software in these weird, bizarre edge cases, break it, and then report the failure so it can actually be fixed.
Exactly. And they also thank students from the Google Summer of Code program. They even thank the, what they call the big idea people.
I love that.
Yeah, these are the visionaries who help chart the roadmap for where the software actually needs to go over the next 5 years.
It really highlights that a healthy open source project needs totally diverse skill sets. Like, writing elegant Python code is an entirely different skill from architecting a multi-year roadmap.
Right.
Or even just documenting some obscure bug about how the system handled a malformed Japanese character in an email header.
Oh, the character encoding bugs are the worst. But, you know, passion, bug reports, and big ideas, they don't pay the server bills.
Right. Continuous development requires real infrastructure. So how does a free software project actually survive financially without, like, selling user data or throwing up annoying paywalls?
Well, the project relies heavily on corporate and community backing. For instance, the documentation specifically thanks Canonical and the Zope Corporation for supporting Barry Warsaw's work while he was under their employ.
Wait, so the companies were paying him to work on Mailman?
Essentially, yes. These corporations recognize that their own internal infrastructure relied heavily on Mailman, so they basically subsidized a core developer's time so he could keep working on the open source project.
That is a massive commitment.
It is.
And then there's the raw computing power needed to just maintain the code. The sources highlight that cPanel generously donated the server resources for the project's GitLab CI system.
Oh, and that continuous integration system, the CI system, that is the unsung hero of this whole operation.
How so?
Because when a developer submits a code change, you can't just merge it and hope for the best.
Right, it could break everything.
Exactly. So the CI system automatically spins up virtual environments, applies the new code, and runs thousands of automated tests to ensure the new feature hasn't completely broken the bounce processing or the database routing.
And running those automated test suites across multiple different operating systems and various Python versions, I imagine that requires serious CPU cycles.
Huge amounts of processing power.
Right, so by donating those server resources, cPanel basically allows the developers to focus purely on engineering rather than, you know, rationing their testing because of budget constraints.
Precisely. And you also see incredible grassroots financial support. Like, themailarchive.com is credited with kickstarting a directed GNU Mailman donation fund through the Free Software Foundation.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And the developers actively note that past user contributions allowed them to send a core team member to the PyCon conference back in 2015, which facilitated this really crucial face-to-face collaboration.
It's just this entire web of dependencies, isn't it? Like, Corporations, individual donors, students, and veteran engineers all holding up this critical piece of the internet.
It really is.
But, you know, alongside all this heavy infrastructure talk, I found something in the official RENME file that just made me laugh out loud.
Let me guess. The branding rule.
Yes. The branding rule. It's this highly specific, incredibly rigid rule right in the main documentation. Right at the top, it lays down the golden rule for how you are supposed to refer to the software.
It's so strict.
It states that the name is spelled Mailman with a leading capital M, a lowercase second M, and I'm quoting directly here, any other spelling is incorrect.
It is such an incredibly developer-minded way to approach branding.
Right. They're practically treating the software's name like a Boolean variable or something. Like, it evaluates to true if it has a lowercase m, and it throws a syntax error if you capitalize it.
You can just feel the collective frustration of these developers who are so tired of seeing Mailman written with a capital M in tech blogs.
Oh, absolutely.
But, I mean, that rigidity makes perfect sense when you consider what they actually do all day.
How do you mean?
Well, you're talking about people who spend their days wrestling with incredibly strict SMTP protocols, hunting down weird memory leaks, and ensuring compatibility with completely deprecated Python libraries. Like, if you were writing an email header parser, a single misplaced capitalization in a regular expression can literally crash the delivery of 10,000 emails.
That's terrifying.
It is.
Yeah.
So precision isn't just a preference for them. It's a fundamental job requirement.
That is such a good point. The quirkiness of the rule is a direct symptom of the exact mindset you need to build a flawless back-end engine.
Exactly. And, you know, when you step back and really look at the sheer scale of the Mailman ecosystem, it brings up a much broader implication about how the modern internet actually functions.
Yeah.
Because we tend to view the digital world as this this monolithic corporate-owned infrastructure. Like, we just assume massive server farms and multi-billion dollar tech giants are the only things holding our communications together.
Right. You think of Google, Microsoft, Amazon.
Exactly. But in reality, a huge portion of the internet's foundational plumbing, the tools that are routing millions of critical messages every single day, it actually relies on an invisible layer of open source volunteer labor.
That is just such a provocative reality to think about. Like, the efficiency of your enterprise communication might just be resting on the shoulders of a dedicated community of bug hunters or, you know, a core developer pushing Python commits in their spare time on a Tuesday afternoon.
It's wild to think about.
But this decentralized community-driven model is arguably way more resilient than relying on a single proprietary vendor. It just requires active participation and support to survive.
That's the key. So the next time you receive a flawlessly formatted digest email, or your server gracefully handles a massive wave of bounced addresses without getting blacklisted, just remember the invisible engine making it all happen.
It really does reframe how we think about the tools we use every day. I mean, why lease a black box from a massive corporation when you can leverage a highly optimized community-vetted engine where you hold all the keys?
You hold the keys and you own the data.
Exactly. And this brings us full circle right back to our sponsor, SafeServer. When businesses, associations, and enterprise groups realize that they can gain massive cost savings and ensure absolute data sovereignty by switching from costly proprietary tools to an open source solution like GNU Mailman, the next big hurdle is obviously implementation.
Right, because setting it up isn't always trivial.
Exactly. But when you do, you own your data, you control your compliance archives, and your entire infrastructure sits securely within the EU. And you don't have to figure out the back-end Python architecture or the server deployment alone.
Which is a huge relief.
Totally. SafeServer offers expert consulting to assess your organization's specific needs. They can help you implement GNU Mailman, or they can help find the exact open source alternative that fits perfectly for your use case.
Yeah.
They handle the complex back-end routing so your team can focus on the actual conversation.
Taking ownership of your digital infrastructure isn't just about saving money. It's about securing your organization's future.
I couldn't agree more. If you're ready to make the switch, direct your browser to www.safeserver.de to learn more. So I guess the final takeaway is, if you ever find yourself needing to host a digital dinner party for 5,000 people, don't let them all shout at once.
Please don't.
There is an incredibly powerful open source switchboard waiting to organize the chaos.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to know where to look.